I went to a luncheon at Methodist the other day, and it was a luncheon for volunteers. And I was amazed at how many of these volunteers were so into their jobs. They come in, some of them will visit the sick, some of them sit on the front desk and check people in as they're coming into the hospital. They do various things, and we really could not do it without them. But at this luncheon, I just noticed how joyful everybody was. I mean, they're really into it, and almost, you know, all of them are retired. How many people here are retired? How many people would like to be retired? Okay, just the whole place, right? But anyway, most of them are retired. And so as I think about retirement myself, I was kind of watching them, you know, to see how they're doing. Because, you know, part of me thinks when you go to retire, you just kind of sit around and watch TV all the time. You get to the soap operas and you just kind of curl up and fall over or whatever. But these people were not like that. They acted like they loved doing what they did, and they were serving. And I think that was a big part of it. They love serving God, and they're serving in a place at Methodist, which is a Christian institution. And then I started thinking about the joy that they were experiencing, and then I thought about our own joy. So I was trying to call me. Thought about our own joy at Room at the Inn. A lot of those people had never been there before, had never served the homeless before, and they were just ecstatic about it. You know, the service, and they cooked, and we had two people to do everything. It was amazing how it worked. But one of the things that really, really, really excited me is I got a call from a friend of mine. She said she knew that I did Room at the Inn. She lives on the lake with me. I've known her for over 30 years. She was one of the people that got me out there. And she's agnostic or atheist. She'd even call herself atheist part of the time. And we were really good friends. And so for 30 years, I've been working on her, you know. And we've even had fights in our days, you know, early on. We don't do that anymore. But we would really have some pretty heated debates on the topic. And so I said, that's not the way to somebody's heart. So I've just prayed about it, given it to God, and we've remained very good friends. Well, she came to me the other day, and she said, this Room at the Inn thing, what all do y'all do? Do you serve the homeless? And I said, yeah. She says, I want to go. I want to serve homeless. I said, it's at a church. She hates all churches. And she said, I said, it's at a church. Well, she said, that's okay. And she said, can I fix the salad? I'd like to do a big salad. I said, absolutely, you can do the salad. Now, somebody else was going to do the salad. I called and I said, please ask them to do something else. I don't want to hamper her coming to this event. So she did. She came. She said, I'll be glad to do whatever. And so I was thinking, after 30-something years, I thought, is God using this Room at the Inn, the service, to bring her closer to God? And maybe there's a possibility that Jane, my friend Jane, who I've prayed about all this time, maybe she's going to find a little joy in this volunteer service. And somehow, by all the good Christians around her, not the bad Christians around her, but she'll meet some good Christians for a change, and that they will help her find the joy of Christ. And so that's my hope. I don't know what God is up to, but that is my hope, and that's why I lift her up in my prayers. Because we're talking today about joy. And joy only comes from God. It doesn't come from just having a good time or enjoying yourself serving. The real joy comes strictly from God through Christ. And we'll talk more about it. But there's, you know, lots of happy families. When I'm making rounds, I go up to one of the floors. I won't name the floor, but one of the floors where all the babies are. And it's where they just had the baby, the mother and the father just had babies, and the rooms are filled full of their friends and their families. And I call it the joy rooms and unit. So when I go up there, everybody's just, you know, they're just gaga over their babies. They're smiling. Everybody's in good mood. They're a little tired, but it's the joy room. So these babies, of course, as we all know, can bring great joy to us. And so it is with our Christmas story, is it not? And so we're going to hear about Mary and her when she became pregnant, and then she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth and finding her joy. Let us hear about Mary's joy.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So we hear the prophet Mary as she runs to deliver the most unbelievable, unexpected news to her cousin Elizabeth, who is also with child. Now you can only imagine her going there, and then she enters the room, and as soon as her voice fills the room up, who is to become John the Baptist does a flip in Elizabeth's womb because she hears this. He hears this holy voice. And so this a sharing of these two cousins about the joy of their birth is going to be exciting anyway. You can imagine getting together with the cousins who is about to have a baby as well and just sharing it every day. But their sharing it is very, very different. Because what they're about to discover and what the joy that Mary is having is that she's the chosen one. She's chosen to be the vessel of Christ. You can only imagine how excited and unbelievable that would be. I can't even imagine. I mean, all the service we've done, we do great service, but this is something unimaginable. And she says, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has blessed me with such favor. So she's so blessed that she's able to bring Christ Jesus into the world and wondering what that's going to look like and be like. But we look at ourselves and our own service, and of course, we find great joy in what we do as well. Joy can be found in our circumstances as we serve, but that's not what joy is. That's not real joy. And people mess up all the time. They think joy and happiness are the same, and they're not the same. They're not even close to the same. Sometimes we use joy in a sense, more of a secular sense, but joy in this way is a holy biblical term, and it's used throughout the Bible. So the definition of joy is that deep awareness that whatever our circumstances may be, it is orchestrated by God for our good. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had, when I first came to Christ, and this was more in my 40s, you know, I got baptized and all that younger, but when I came back to Christ and reached, I felt all of this. It was this deep joy that everything was going to be okay. It's hope-filled. And it's not like of something fleeting. It's not like you're on a high, like everything's going to be great all the time, but it never goes away. We may think of joy as great happiness, but it is more than happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness can be just situational. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy does not. As C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven. It's serious business. When you've experienced the joy of Christ, then you are in Christ and you have literally had the joy of Christ given to you. It's not yours. It's not something you created. It's the joy of Christ Jesus himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Creator God. The word joy appears over and over and over in Scripture. And in the Psalms, it's all over the place. And the Psalms writes, Weeping may come in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I've said that to myself many times when I've had a hard day. Weeping may come at the night, but joy comes in the morning. And it's been said that there is a marvelous medicinal power of joy. It's like medicine. You know, taking medicine sometimes it can be bitter and it doesn't taste good or it has side effects. Well, joy does not. And it can be very, very contagious. And it can comfort one's heart. One person who is wretched and seems to stop all the birds from singing because they're so down and negative. But joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for the daily labor that you're going through. Holy joy will beautify you and the others, and it will help you influence others. I remember when I first had this joy and how I did not want to be around anybody that said anything negative about each other. I couldn't be around gossip, and that's not like me typically. Come tell me about it if you need somebody to talk to about it. It's how I usually was. But this time, I couldn't be around people that were had any kind of negativity. If it wasn't Christ-like, then I didn't want to be around it. It just felt very negative and toxic. And that's what joy will do. It will also give you the fruit of the Spirit, and there's many of those, one of them being joy. But again, when I was called to ministry and I was working in the service and running the audio board, Steve remembers me doing the audio board and stuff. I used to love, I had this big old audio board and I was doing this. And Joe knows that I have that background. So again, they'd see this girl doing it back there and they go, what does she do? What does she know about it? And I had Kevin Page and all of them. I was doing this. And I was just joy filled. And it was the beginning of the service, those first opening months or whatever. And I would greet to people. Every time they'd come in and come out, I'd greet them. How are y'all doing? You know, I was just joy-filled. I was tired, but I was joy-filled. And this one woman, she came in. She had this really perched mouth, and she came in like this and like that. And she goes, why are you always in such a good mood? Like it was a sin or something. And I thought, ma'am. She said, why? And then she said, why are you always so happy? And I thought to myself, I said, I don't know. And I thought to myself, ma'am, that's not happiness. That is joy. Don't shortchange me on this happiness stuff. That's the joy of the Lord. And I was serving God in the capacity. And I had to have that joy, and it had to be so palatable so that I could actually do the service that I was called to do. So joy is very powerful and can get us through difficult times. Not all people understand the difference between happiness and joy, but joy begets joy. So if you're joyful and you act joyful, other people are going to pick up on it. And it's just like even being in a good mood, but people pick up on the holiness of joy. 1 Peter 8 describes our joy, what it's like. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an unspeakable joy. Now, some of the different versions will say indescribable joy. I don't think that's a big enough word, indescribable joy. It's kind of flat. But it says in the King James Version, unspeakable joy. And that's the profoundness and the depth, I believe, of the word that should be used. For you are receiving the outcome, listen to this, the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your soul. And so when you do that, what comes out is joy. Peace, like we talked about last time we gathered, peace as well, but also joy. This joy that you don't know where it came from, you didn't produce it, it's just there. Joy is what salvation feels like. Happiness is great but fleeting. Joy is unspeakable and should be spoken of that way, as unspeakable. It's hard to describe it. You can't describe it, you have to experience it. And we want everybody to be able to experience it. That's why I'm just like hoping and praying. It'll be a lifetime's work if my friend Jane says, I have felt the joy of the Lord. Something's coming over me. It'll be a lifetime work. And I'll weep like a baby. But I'm telling you, something's going on. Can I come to that church and serve the homeless? What? A friend at work told me this week about, we were talking about a little bit about this earlier, about a 22-year-old young man who was addicted to drugs. He was so addicted to drugs, they were really scared they were going to lose him. And so he was out on the streets with his friends and stuff, and some godly man came up to him and a group of the guys he was with, and he said, hey, we're serving up dinner up here, Wednesday night dinner, come get a good meal and let's talk. So they all went and they fed him. The guy was real nice. They'd seen him around before and trusted him. So they went in and fed him and they had a little chat. And then they prayed over him. Said, we want you to come back next week if you'd like. So he came back the next week and the next week and the next week. And so pretty soon that guy was transformed. That young man, 22-year-old, who was addicted to drugs, got cleaned up. And he started going to church on Wednesdays and went on Sundays and went on Tuesdays. It's one of those churches, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, we do it every other. They'd laugh at us. But they were every night. So he got totally transformed and got into Christianity, and he gave his life and he was saved. And he found the joy, and the joy of life overcame his addiction, his wanting of that drug. That doesn't happen every time, but it did happen for him. He didn't want the drug anymore. He wanted that joy. And not only that, he wanted to know more about this Holy Spirit, much more of a Pentecostal environment, wanted much more about the Holy Spirit so that he could help other people. So what he did is he went to serve, because when you have joy, what do you want to do? You want to serve. So he went out to those same streets and started meeting these young men, mostly young men about his age that were addicted, and started telling about it. And it's very dangerous areas he was going to. And his parents were really concerned. They were thrilled that he had given his life to Christ. But all of a sudden, he was going to these dangerous areas. He said, God has protected me. Nothing's going to happen to me. Is that my earring? Chris is driving him crazy. Let's just take that right off. There we go. And so he did that, and he brought all these people into this church. And they started calling Preacher Man. He was now 23, and they call him Preacher Man. And he's gotten all these kids off the street and spread the joy of Christ through his experience. Praise God. But Jesus says in John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. So it's Christ Jesus' joy. It's, you know, when we think of joy, God, I feel good today. I'm happy today. Well, the joy, this joy that sometimes can even bring you tears, and it can happen after a profound loss when you feel the Holy Spirit working in you, that joy that even though you've gone through a deep loss or deep hurt, that there's this peace and that there's joy anyway. And you wonder, where did that come from? Well, it didn't come from you. It came from God. And when that happens, you know that that is Jesus' joy. He said, it's my joy that I give to you, so you will be complete. So we share the joy of Christ, which is such a beautiful, beautiful gift, particularly here at Christmas. Now, we talked about peace the last time we gathered, and I wanted to remind you of this. I keep telling you these three things. The third thing, I forgot to remember then the other day. I had so many things going through my mind. But, well, like we talked about, there are three ways to get peace. To think on God, to think about God. If you're out of kilter, it was kind of like what we were talking about earlier. If you're out of kilter, you haven't prayed much later, start thinking about God. Just start thinking on God. And then number two, to trust God with all things. Don't rely on yourself. Don't rely on other people. Rely on God. Trust God. Give it to God. And the third thing is to lean on God. Lean on God. Just give it to Him. And trust God, and leaning on God and thinking on God can help you find peace and renew. If we've got God shut out and we're trying to do it all ourselves, as we know, that does not work well for us. But how can we find joy in the midst of all the junk, hardships, and painful circumstances? I'm going to give you three more things to think about. First, we need to understand that the joy the world gives is not the same as the joy of the Spirit. Nothing alike. Again, it's more like happiness. Nothing wrong with that. I like being happy. But it's not the same. The joy of the Spirit is different. Worldly joy or happiness comes and goes as often as like waves hitting a shore, and then it'll go away. But the Spirit of joy can stay with you for the long haul, and it never, ever goes away as long as you are in Christ. It's for life and beyond. So that's a pretty big difference. Joy is for the long haul and will never go away as long as we are in Christ. And second is, we need to understand that God's joy cannot be taken away. Nobody can take it from us. It can feel like it sometimes when we're going through bad times or hard times. It can feel like people are stealing our joy left and right, but it will never go away. As believers, we are promised the constant presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we center ourselves at the beginning of this service. We ask the Holy Spirit to come in. And we have to invite the Holy Spirit and Christ into our lives. And it takes retreats, takes much prayer, and it takes gatherings like this, hearing the Word of God. And then third, we need to stop wallowing, whining, and complaining so much, because that is not God's way. We need to stop complaining and grab onto God's joy, Just like salvation, joy is a free and perfect gift from Him. And we need to choose joy over bitterness, anger, and sorrow. We can choose it. It is there for us. We just have to connect to it. It's a vine that we connect to, but we have to be intentional about it. No matter what, look at these great examples in Scripture, because there's so many. It says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Joy makes us more generous because we know that that is the most important thing, is to giving back to God and to others. Service. There is a big donor at Methodist that I met one time. I didn't know he was a big donor when I went into his room. He just had heart surgery. And I had been told that he had asked to see a chaplain, so I walked in. And he thanked me for coming. He asked for a prayer. We had a wonderful prayer together. And I soon could tell that he had the joy of Christ times 1,000. He kept saying, I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. And he was just, he was exuding. He was effervescent with joy. I could tell that he had the Lord with him big time. And so instead of me to ministering to him, he started ministering to me. It was unbelievable how he had gone through the surgery. Most people, when they go through surgeries, they're not feeling real well. And so they don't, and many of them are grateful, but not like this. But then I came to find out, he said, you know, I know the people here that run the place and everything, and I just love giving to this hospital, and I just love doing for this hospital, and I try to do all I can. And I come to find out, I went and asked about him, and he'd given millions of dollars in medical equipment, millions of dollars to a wing in the hospital, millions of dollars to all these areas that we didn't have the budget for. And the joy of his giving was palatable. The joy of his giving was palatable because it was the joy of Christ living in him. You could just feel it. And he never told me that, because he doesn't care. He did not care about being recognized for it. He just wanted to let me know that he enjoyed helping in whatever way he can. He didn't tell me he gave millions and millions. But it will make us generous. Joy is the gigantic secret of Christianity. A joy that thrives from the moment of our salvation to the moment of our death cannot be found outside of Christ. I don't think it can. And what God desires for us and provides for us is joy unspeakable. Amen.